If you're running a business right now, you're playing a game where the rules keep changing. Trade tensions, economic uncertainty, culture wars, the world is rapidly changing around us. And companies, especially independent and local businesses, are having to adapt faster than ever. That's why Mission Critical is evolving. We're diving deep with the founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs who are navigating this chaos in real time. The ones making the tough calls, pushing through unpredictability, and proving that resilience isn't just a buzzword, it's a survival skill. How do you scale in an economy that feels like it's on shaky ground? What happens when US policy shifts send shockwaves through Canadian industries? And in a world where diversity, healthcare, and economic resilience are becoming battlegrounds, how do businesses double down instead of backing down? These are the real conversations that matter to business leaders right now. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical. Let's get into it. Good morning, Maggie. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Lance. I'm really well.
I'm so excited to be chatting with you for so many reasons, but also, you know, the fact that you are a Canadian and Torontonian, and it is just feels like such a homecoming that you are, you know, that we are having this chat. We really love celebrating Canadian success and entrepreneurship and storytelling, and especially from leaders from, you know, underrepresented communities. And it's just so incredible what you've done with this movie and everything and what it means to so many people. First of all, like, welcome back to Toronto. How are you? How has the visit back been?
It's been great. I love getting some weather because we were going through a heat wave in LA. So a little rain was nice to see. I haven't been back in, I don't know, I think over 7 years. My family has now moved to Vancouver area, so I travel there a lot. And the movie production was at Sony Imageworks, which is located in Vancouver. So I traveled there quite a bit during production. But Toronto, you know, we're here for some press and you know, a little bit for TIFF. But you know, growing up in Toronto and seeing TIFF every year, I've always wanted to attend, so it's really great to be here during this time.
Well, we're so happy to have you back, and I so appreciate you taking the time out from an insanely busy schedule. Obviously, we're here to talk about the incredible success of your movie, K-Pop Demon Hunters, which has become a global phenomenon, not just in the world of like movies and filmmaking, but also on the music charts, which is so fitting, giving its name. So firstly, I want to say congratulations. How does it feel? Have you had a chance to just take a step back and like soak it up?
Well, thank you. It's been a whirlwind. And ever since the movie came out, I was like, I think I was holding my breath and not really fully relaxed when we wrapped the movie in mid-April. And then when it came out, it was like, oh gosh, I felt like a little relief. And then the insanity started. And so we, Chris and I, haven't really had a break, but it's all been very exciting. It's very, we're still digesting, and it's just very surreal. You know, when you make these things, you don't, you know, you want your film to connect with people, but you don't ever expect this. This is really, really incredible. And we're just so incredibly touched and so happy to see it resonate with so many people.
Let's rewind a bit. You know, your father worked in filmmaking. What were some of the movies he introduced you to that had a formative
impact? He was actually a fan. He wasn't, he never worked in film. He really wanted to. I grew up watching like Kurosawa films from like, I don't know, I was like 10, 12. Like, I would just sit there and watch it with them. One Christmas, I remember all the Chaplin films came out on DVD. And so that's all we did, like all Christmas for like 10 days. That's all we watched was like Chaplin films. So I grew up like watching a lot of like world cinema. And I think that kind of introduced me and, you know, just really fostered a love for storytelling in me at a young age. And so I wrote a lot of short stories growing up, like in school. And I always kind of wanted to just express them through art. Doing character designs or like story moments and illustrations for stories. I wasn't really like a kid that sat down and just drew stuff like for nothing, for, you know, just for fun. It was always for story.
Yeah. I was listening to one of the other interviews you had on another podcast, and you mentioned in that interview that you didn't really have a lot of Korean friends growing up. How did that influence or shape your identity and voice as a storyteller, if anything?
You know, I didn't, but I had my sister to rely on a lot. Like, she's 3 years older, and we were very, very close growing up, and we still are. You know, I talked about kind of hiding my love for K-pop from my non-Korean friends because I couldn't share that with them. But my sister was amazing. She was such a great older sister. She let her younger sister like hang out with her and her friends who were Korean, and so we shared this like love of K-pop together. So I think that kind of, you know, helped me enjoy that part of you know, my life and my culture. I also just had parents who really instilled in me, you know, you are Korean. You know, it was very important for me to keep the language. That was something that like my mom really, really worked on. And I think just growing up in Toronto, a city that's like so multicultural, and you're, you know, being like culturally different is very celebrated here. So I think that also just kind of helped me just keep that Korean pride, even though I wasn't really around a lot of Korean people.
Yeah, that's so great that you had that experience, because I know, you know, a lot of us that are part of like the diaspora communities, we're not always surrounded by people that look like us, and we're not always immersed in our own culture. So that's so incredible that you had that experience. If we kind of shift focus to the movie, while you were making K-pop Demon Hunters, did that ever feel like at any point you were taking a risk and, you know, making a big bet on yourself and your vision, or, you know, possibly risks that were more, you know, that more traditional distribution paths and studios haven't been bold enough to take with original content and storytelling?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think I ever felt kind of, you know, this imposter syndrome, you know, growing up. Like, a lot of people that are kind of born or like living in between cultures kind of feel that, you know, that's really common. And I was fortunate not to, but while making this movie, I was like, oh my gosh, am I doing the right thing? Am I representing Korean culture correctly? Am I a fraud? Am I Korean enough to make this movie? There's a lot of that. And I've had to like defeat those demons. And I did. And you know, I think from the very beginning, there was a lot of support from Netflix and Sony to make something that was culturally different. I think, especially with Netflix, Korean content was very successful on their platform, and they were seeing that. And so there was just a lot of support to really push for that authenticity from both studios. So I think I was I know that I was very fortunate to have that support. And you don't really get that, especially as a first-time director, like that trust. Yeah. I think that was great. I also think just there's a huge advantage to having a film like this, you know, that could feel pretty risky, you know, having a full Asian main cast and so culturally Asian. And putting it on a streamer was great. Your film goes out to 190 countries. It gets dubbed in, I forget what the number is, it's something 40 something different languages. And so K-pop being a very universal, you know, thing, like it helped have all these people around the world have access to it you know, enjoy it together at the same time. And I think that really helped get the kind of snowball rolling and give this movie the legs that it has.
Did you ever feel the pressure to explain or translate Korean culture to such a global audience? Or did you create assuming that people would be able to meet you where you are and wouldn't need all the context and the nuances of understanding Korean culture?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was the latter, and that's how we wanted to approach it. You know, when you go to a different country, when you travel, you can research and do all that before you get there, but there are surprises, right? Like, you go and you're trying to, like, I don't know, you even use the metro system, and things are different there, but you just figure it out because mm-hmm. there's things about it that are familiar to where you're coming from. So I kind of wanted people to kind of enjoy all of the cultural specificity in a natural way and just kind of accept it. And as long as it's not something that really takes you out of the story and you really, really have to understand it in order to to really appreciate the story, unless it was something like that, we didn't want to kind of, I guess, tell the audience this is a different culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just throw them in there and just have them experience it.
And give, I guess, credit to the audience to be able to find their own way yes. to that, yes. you know? Yeah. Building on that, the soundtrack has obviously exploded as much as the movie itself, mm-hmm. which is so fitting given what the movie is. Mm-hmm. What do you think the music success says about the universality of K-pop and K-pop not being for a niche audience as it may have been portrayed?
Yeah, I think... when you go to a K-pop concert, you see so many types of people from all different cultures, all demographics, all different ages. And it's really incredible to see that, it's something that is able to do that. And mm-hmm. And I think it's so powerful, that there's music that, even if you don't understand the lyrics completely, there is a vibe, there is a feeling, there's this energy that is, bringing people together. And and we kind of wanted the movie to be a very similar thing. There's no other medium like film that really breaks down boundaries. You tell stories that are universal and you let the audience know hey, no matter where you go, no matter what culture somebody's from, we all feel the same stuff. And, we all can relate to the very human emotions that we all have. And, I think K-pop has done that for many years. And we just wanted to kind of create a story that could do the same thing,
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What I loved about the movie as well was that it really had so many layers and nuance and explored a lot of these themes around intergenerational cultural inheritance, whether that's acceptance or rejection, yes. reconciliation. Mm-hmm. How did this film let you dive deeper into some of those themes that we've seen in our community, in our culture?
Having an Asian mom and becoming an Asian mom was all part of this journey. I think just on the personal side, after having a daughter, I think that really helped me kind of understand my parents a bit more and specifically, mm-hmm. Especially my mom. And it was only after the birth of my child that my mom and I were able to kind of break down some of those barriers that we had kind of built because mm-hmm. I could understand her a little better. And, even raising my child, recently there are things that she said to me where I was like, oh my gosh. And I've told my friends and they're like, she is breaking down the patterns. Like she is not taking what, you endured from your mom. And so I feel like, I just firsthand witnessed all of the generational trauma just get kind of dissolved, through my personal experience. And, I think that was an important story that we wanted to tell. We did want to kind of show the generational changes that happen, especially with Asian culture, because that's, that's a big part of our lives, as yeah. I think that also just tied in with the idea of the story starting with the old time hunters and just the generations, the passing of the torch of these hunters. And we just wanted to kind of use that and integrate it into the hunter story just to show that there's kind of power and strength in kind of younger people kind of coming of age, I guess, and discovering new things and teaching the older generation what's up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like some of the messages that we're told as a community, especially if you're children of immigrants, is mm-hmm. don't draw attention, keep that mask on, yeah. don't kind of don't air out your drama and don't talk about your struggles and everything. And that's very clearly talked about in the movie. Mm-hmm. But Huntrix, you know, as a group, they're flawed heroes in mm-hmm. different ways. How did you approach the idea of like owning your power despite or as a result of your flaws as well?
Yeah. You know, I think it really kind of that idea tied in nicely with just the idea of K-pop. You know, we never mm-hmm. wanted to kind of shine a light on any of the kind of negativity that happens, and not just K-pop, but in the entertainment industry, you know, as we know. But it did feel like that part of the story was a reflection of that. It's like, you know, you present yourself as this perfect thing, but on the inside or in your private life, you know, behind closed doors, you're not really that same person. So I think that kind of, you know, that was like a nice little way of like addressing some of those things that we see in that could happen in those kind of industries. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's interesting to explore too. Like, why do you think audiences today are also craving heroes who are mm-hmm. imperfect, who make mistakes, who are not afraid to be, you know, so, always so polished and goofy? Because that the characters in the movie, you know, the mm-hmm. expressions and everything like that, especially in this era that we're in, that is like hyper saturated in the genre of like superhero, as well as like growing influence of K-pop as a genre as well. Mm-hmm. Why do you think audiences today are craving that mm-hmm. kind of representation of imperfection?
Because I think we are, you know, with the social media so like abundant in our lives, and especially, you know, in the younger generation, like my kid, who is like, I mean, she's not on social media, but she sees a lot of these influencers. And mm-hmm. I think there's kind of everyone I think can kind of guess that, you know, not everything is as it seems. And so maybe it's kind of refreshing to see the other side of it a little bit. And it really kind of humanizes everybody and makes, you know, I think there's like a weird thing about like seeing pop stars and make, you know, they seem so like unattainable and really great, but then bringing them down to earth and making them feel really relatable. I think it's always been that kind of, I don't know, just the desire to see that. I also just really wanted to show a different kind of female character. Like I think we've seen a lot mm-hmm. of, especially in animation, a lot of like very, you know, pretty proper female characters, and we don't really see a lot of like silly and super funny and, you know, female characters being the funniest one in the room. And I just wanted to break that down and just be like, you know, there's power and confidence in being funny. Like it takes a lot of courage to tell jokes and be silly and stupid in front of people. And I just wanted to kind of put it out there that like, there's power in that. That's real girl power to be funny.
And I love that.
And I hope that it sparks that in a younger generation that's watching this.
I love that. Okay, last two quick questions. Yeah. What is the biggest lesson you've learned from making this movie that you'll carry with yourself as well mm-hmm. as into possibly future projects?
Yeah, I was a little timid at first. You know, I was, you know, like I talked about before, just having those insecurities and not just on the cultural stuff, but just in my abilities and my sensibilities. And, you know, once I kind of shed or got past that, it, you know, I kind of freed myself and just was brave. I did things in the, like the corn eyes, when I pitched that to my husband, who also works in the industry, he was like, that's not going to work. And I was like, is it not? No, I'm going to make it work. And I did, and I think it's one of the best jokes in the movie. I want to continue taking risks and doing things and trusting my gut and trusting my sensibilities and just putting myself out there, even though it can be scary at times.
Mm-hmm. And last question, what's kind of the through line or the mission that you have for yourself that you would like to reflect through your work, you know, past work, as well as the projects that you carry on moving forward?
Yeah, Great question. I'm very proud of how Korean culture was represented in K-pop Demon Hunters, and I think the next things I do, I don't think necessarily have to be like fully culturally Korean or fully one, you know, mm-hmm. representing a culture. I'd like to see, work like Beef, for example. I think, you know, they did such a great job of telling an Asian perspective story without having it feel like 100% culturally Asian. Yeah. I think representation is so important. So, you know, even in a movie that doesn't have anything, in a story that doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with Korean culture, like there's no reason why characters can't go to a restaurant that's Korean to eat dinner.
It doesn't have to be a thing.
Yes, it doesn't have to be a thing. It's just like, it's just there. It's just the representation, I think, is just very important. So I'd love to contribute to film in that way.
Amazing. Maggie, thank you so much for your time. So glad to have you back in Toronto and in Canada. And I hope you just have the most amazing things coming your way, even more so. So really appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Lance.
That's a wrap on this episode of Mission Critical. If today's conversation gave you something to think about, do me a favor. Subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Big ideas are meant to be shared, and the best insights only matter if they're put into action. Until next time, stay sharp, stay curious, and go and make something happen. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical.